MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Nerina Visser, director at ETFSA. Nerina, last week was the South African Listed Tracker Awards, Thursday evening. A bunch of awards. One that really, really stood out for me was around tracking errors. I suppose first question is, tracking errors applicable to passive. What is a tracking error?
So I think probably the best way to define it is to differentiate between sort of the mathematical calculation of a tracking error versus what we as investors really would be looking for. Let's start with the latter. What I as an investor in any investment product, but in particular a tracking product such as an index tracking ETF, what I would be looking for is something that gives me exactly the same performance over a period of time as the reference asset, whether that reference asset is some index or whether it is something like physical gold or whatever the case might be. It tells me how well does my investment track or match the performance of that reference asset. From a mathematical perspective, tracking error is typically calculated as the difference between the performance of the two, so the portfolio versus the index, on a daily basis, and that it sort of gets compounded and so on. But quite frankly, when I'm an investor, I'm not really too fussed about however the industry wants to calculate the mathematical precision of something. My perspective is really just, am I getting the performance of that reference index or that reference asset? That's what I want to measure in terms of tracking efficiency. And that is exactly how this was done by the organizers also of the Salters, to say how well have our different ETFs and tracking products been able to deliver on the performance over a particular period of time. In this case, it was over a 3-year period.
And what influences the scope of that tracking error? I mean, is it the creation of and occasionally a dematerialization of the units, or is it more than that?
It's a lot more than that. Okay. And so I think when we look at what goes into why there would be differences, obviously an index is just a mathematical calculation. Yeah. It's got no costs. It's got no activity. It's literally just a mathematical calculation of the weighted performance of the underlying investments. But for a fund that actually replicates that or tracks that, there's obviously the trading costs of buying those underlying shares or assets, the selling from time to time. There would be things like custody fees and the safekeeping of this. There's all the sort of the costs associated with the portfolio, trustee fees, accounting fees, all sorts of things like that. But then there's, of course, also cash flow that comes through. So as under, let's just talk about an equity portfolio, the underlying shares pay dividends from time to time. That's a cash inflow into the portfolio, and the index tracking portfolio manager has to go and reinvest that cash again, redeploy it. In the case of the index, it just sort of the next day just suddenly, automatically gets added to the value of the index. For the portfolio manager, there's actually quite a bit more that needs to be done. It could even get a bit more complex than that with corporate actions. You know, sometimes we see that there's companies that get taken out, or you get an unbundling from a constituent of an ETF into another shares. You receive shares. I mean, it can get significantly complex. So really the ability to manage that portfolio is a very sophisticated and a very good process that our index tracking portfolio managers follow. And really all we do with the tracking efficiency award is to say, how well did they manage that overall complex process in their ability to deliver to investors the performance over the 3-year period?
And it just struck me, and I have to be honest, this is not my first Salters I've attended, but it's never quite opened my eyes. The tracking errors were, I was going to say they're small. That undersells it. I mean, the one I remember, you were doing fractions of basis points. I didn't know we could do that.
Indeed, fractions of basis points. So yes, I mean, if you think, let's use an example such as the oldest and the biggest and the best known ETF in the market, the Satrix 40 ETF. It has a total expense ratio. So the cost of that ETF is 10 basis points. Mm-hmm. So for starters, one should expect that your Satrix 40 ETF should be giving you at least 10 basis points less than the top 40 index would give you over time, mm-hmm. because that's just the cost of managing it before we've even got to all of those other things. But when we look at the Satrix 40 ETF, and by the way, this one didn't even win the award, they were better, but the Satrix 40 ETF delivered that performance with a cost, if I can call it that, a tracking efficiency of 5.6 basis points. So almost half the cost of just the total expense ratio cost of the ETF was actually what they delivered. So all of those other things that we mentioned, they managed to almost absorb the cost of that into the efficiency with which they manage the portfolio on behalf of investors.
That's essentially me paying a 0.056% fee, which, I mean, my benchmark's always the VOO ETF, because that's 3 basis points, and that's practically VEO. Are we immensely good at this, or is this globally just issuers have worked it out?
So I do think we are very good at this. I do think the globally also you do get some really good delivery of these, but I do think that our South African ETF managers, the portfolio managers, do an exceptionally good job of delivering that performance, of really keeping that tracking error small. I think two things that would stand almost in favor of international ETF managers, and that is that they often don't own every single security that's in the index. You know, if you look at something like the S&P 500, the VOO, that's the total world one. But if you even look at a SPY, you know, the S&P 500, they don't own all 500 shares that's in that portfolio. They own maybe 400 of those, and they sort of approximate the rest. So there's a modeling risk in it. You look at a top 40 ETF, they actually own all 40 shares, every single security. So that's already an area where you could argue that that should be harder for the top 40 ETF manager in South Africa to deliver than the likes of an S&P 500. But the other thing is that in many of your larger ETFs globally, they make use of scrip lending. Now, scrip lending is really, it's a very well-established practice in portfolio management, where portfolios that hold certain securities for an exceptionally long time, and clearly in an index tracking portfolio where you're not expecting changes really in those large cap shares frequently, you can afford to lend out that scrip. Basically, an investor that wants to just borrow that scrip from you do so, and they pay you a fee for that.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at something like the 3 basis points of VOO, and in fact, there were days I remember with a SPY where you were actually getting a negative delivery, because a negative in the sense of you actually got better performance from your ETF than you got from the index. A big part of that was attributable to the scrip lending income that the portfolio received. And that's actually something that is not used very widely by South African ETF issuers for a variety of reasons, not necessary to go into that. But it also means that that potential benefit, we don't even have that really in any consequence sort of in South Africa. So I really do take my hat off to the South African ETF portfolio managers for how well they are able to deliver the performance of the index to those ETF investors.
Yeah. If you told me it was a 0.25%, I would have said, I can live with that. Instead, you told me it's 0.056. It's crazy. We leave it there. Nirina Fisser, Director, ETFSA. Always appreciate the insights.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.